Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Do you realize there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money? And we use a number of these biblical principles in our small group Bible study to show you how to save, deal with a financial crisis, increase your giving, how to eliminate your debt, no matter how small or no matter how large that debt may be. This Bible study is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and you can take a tour of the 9 weeks, the topics that are discussed, simply by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Resources, and there it will be, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and leading our discussion today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic, John and Evelyn Bean. And recently, our pastor delivered a really good homily. It was the 55th anniversary of his ordination. And the homily started out with him sharing his life story from the point of time where he decided to go into the seminary right through today and the 55 years that he has spent here in the Diocese of Orlando. Now, each year he does travel back to Ireland to visit with family, and it was on one of these trips that he began to think about the immigrants who left Ireland because of the potato famine and what little they took with them, what treasures they took with them. And John, I've been thinking about the past couple of days since I heard this homily and the challenge that Father John posed to us. What do we treasure?
Yeah, he was talking about how, it was a long flight over the water. There was a long layover in Boston before he could go on to Shannon Airport. It just made him think about all those Irish people who made that same journey coming to the United States as refugees from the potato famine. And he was talking about the overcrowded wooden sailing ships that took between 1 and 4 months to cross the ocean. And, we complain about 5.5 hours layover in Boston, 1 to 4 months. The immigrants were forced from their homes and their children were facing starvation. They had to get away, leaving almost everything behind. Not that they had a whole bunch, but, a lot of times they left the rest of their family behind. And most of them carried just one small cloth sack onto the ship. You can really learn a lot about what those people treasured by what was chosen to go into the sack.
Those people that were fleeing the potato famine were very, very poor, so they definitely didn't have any silver or jewels or things that were so expensive with them. Maybe a child would just bring a worn-out toy, or maybe there'd be a photograph or an old rosary or a teacup with a missing handle or a small stone or a scrap of lace. Behind every item that they chose to bring with them, there would be a story to explain their value, why they treasured that item, and what it meant to them. What part of their story was that item a part of?
Yeah, each of these treasures represented a memory from times past. The toy might remind the now homeless child of the warm feeling of being tucked into bed at night. Or the photo might be all that's left of a beloved grandparent. Maybe the rosary was, you know, a gift from a long time ago, First Communion. Or the teacup might have been a gift from a friend, a close friend, a best friend. Or the stone was maybe from a path to the cottage, or from the cottage to the barn, or whatever. And that scrap of lace, maybe it was actually part of a wedding veil. There are underlying treasures behind all the stories. A parent's care, family, faith, friendship, home, and love.
You know, this leads us to a question. If we were in a situation where we had to leave everything behind and we could only take one small cloth sack with us, what would we choose to put on our own cloth sack? In other words, what do I truly treasure? What's important to me?
The gospel on that particular Sunday was Luke 12, 13 to 21. It was about the rich man who had a bountiful harvest, and he decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones so he could store all of his treasure. This man, in these six or seven verses, speaks just three sentences, but he uses the pronoun I six times. He never refers to anyone else, and he also used the word my three times. My crops, my barns, my goods. You might think that he treasures all of those possessions and that he's hoarding. But it seems to me that the number one treasure is himself. That's the only person he talks about.
It reminds me of spending time with our two-year-old granddaughter whose favorite word is my, mine, 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 mine. We heard a lot of that this week, didn't we? You know, if you gave that man in the Bible story one small cloth sack for a carefully chosen item, he'd probably just make fun of you because he was so rich and he was so consumed with all the things he had. And as Jesus tells us, the man wants it all. But he's forgotten that old saying that you can't take it with you. You know, none of us are going to have a hearse with a U-Haul behind it with all of our stuff in it.
Shucks.
We're going to leave it behind. And, you get to the point where you just don't want to accumulate any more stuff. I mean, Steve, your mom was how old when she passed?
87.
Had she gotten to the point where she was giving a lot of stuff away because she just really didn't need it anymore?
Every time a family member came over to the house, she would say, go in the garage, take what you want.
Same
with dishes. My nieces would come over, take dishes.
Yeah. My mom was the same way. She just got to the point where she had one closet, and that was all of her stuff that she owned in the whole world. And she really didn't care about any of that.
The story reminds me of another story that I heard about a very, very rich man. And he decides he needs to protect all his wealth for the hereafter. So he hires a team of lawyers to file a lawsuit against God. Now, how stupid is that? He wants the right to bring his possessions to heaven when he dies. So just to humor the man, St. Peter agrees to allow him to bring one suitcase with him. When the man dies, he shows up at the pearly gates with a huge crate. It must have been 8 feet long and 6 feet wide and maybe 5 feet deep. St. Peter looks at that and he says, that's not a suitcase. But the man says, read the contract. No size is mentioned. So St. Peter rolls his eyes and says, well, at least I'll have to look inside. When it's open, St. Peter finds hundreds and hundreds of bars of pure gold. He looks at the man and says, I don't get it. You die and have a chance to bring all your wealth to heaven, and all you chose to bring is a bunch of paving stones.
You know, but that leads us back to our first question, which is, what is really important to you? If all you had was one small cloth sack, what would you choose to put inside of it? What do you really treasure? And that's a question that's hard to answer because our lives are so cluttered with so much stuff and so many possessions.
Well, here's a suggestion. In her best-selling book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying, Marie Kondo suggests an interesting process. She wants us to pick up each item we own slowly, one by one, and ask ourselves if the thing sparks joy. Think about that for a minute. She doesn't ask if this thing costs lots of money, or if it impresses everybody, or if it was a gift from somebody who might be annoyed if it disappeared from your bookcase because they're looking to see every time they come over. Is it still in a position of importance? She just wants to ask us if it sparks joy within us. This is the heart of the gospel story of the rich man. Possessions themselves are never our real treasures. When we hold them and experience a real spark of joy, there's always a story behind it. Why does it spark that sense of joy? And these stories are what lead us to our true underlying treasures. Here's a story that our priest used to tell us what he treasures and what would be in his small cloth bag. And I think you'll get a sense of the meaning of this, and I want you to really think about what would you put in your own cloth bag?
So the first thing he was going to put in his cloth bag was a get well card. And he tells the story about 14 years ago on the anniversary of his ordination, he ended up having emergency open heart surgery with 6 bypasses. He says it was a very difficult time for him, but all the notes and the cards and the prayers of his community got him through it. And he's never going to forget the underlying treasures represented by the one card in his cloth bag. So he took one card to represent all the prayers and the good wishes and the get well prayers from all the community and put that in his cloth bag as a reminder of his connection to the community that he served.
The power of prayer and the network of love and care that he found within our community was a priceless gift to him. And the card also represented the treasure of good health, which I guarantee you he will never forsake or take for granted again.
You know, one of the things that he told us was that before he left for his trip home, on a single day, 3 different parishioners came up to him to tell him that they had cancer and to ask for his prayers.
Wow. Can you imagine being burdened with that type of a burden? You know, it's just got to weigh you down. I don't even know how to express it.
So as he was picking up his luggage at the airport, he tells a story about a 63-year-old parishioner just dropping dead while out jogging. And he says that his repaired heart, his heart with the 6 bypasses, went out to all these people because health is so precious. And when there's a crisis, we need to support each other and also lean on each other. And we need to pray for each other and help each other through these emergencies.
As we've learned this year or last year in the year of giving and the year of mercy, that the receiving of care and the giving of care is really, truly mercy in our world.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the biblical principles in our 9-week small group Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Learn how we can help you eliminate your debt totally by going to compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, are leading our discussion today, and it's based on a homily from our pastor, Father John, the importance of treasures. And he shared with us the treasures that he would put into his cloth sack. And John, what were some of the other items?
So the second thing that our pastor said that he'd put in his sack cloth was a photo of his mother. You know, he gave us just a little bit of a story behind that choice. I mean, it's not surprising. I think a lot of people would take a picture of their mother. But after he was ordained in Ireland, he was really excited about his journey to Florida because early on in the seminary, that's what he was going to do. He was going to become a missionary priest to Florida because that was a land of mission. I think he was like the 80th priest in the state of Florida or something like that.
Well, at that time, the whole diocese was the state. I mean, the state was one diocese, and now we have 6 dioceses in the state.
His mom was really supportive of helping him to get ready for his big day. Then one afternoon, shortly before he was supposed to leave, he saw her crying. And when he asked her about it, she told him it was because she was never going to see him again. And there was that lingering memory in Ireland of all the people who sailed away forever on those wooden ships, never to come home again. And, of course, he hugged her and he reassured her that things are different now and he would be able to fly back and he would visit her the following year. Here are the underlying treasures in that story. The two most important values in his mother's life were her faith and her family. And when she thought she was going to lose her son forever, her faith was so strong that she was still willing to make that sacrifice, to allow him to become a priest, knowing he was going to leave Ireland and go to the States. And he said that he will always remember that spark of joy when she found out that he'd be coming back to see her again in the next year. Here was the greatest treasure that Father John talked about when he told this story. It's being loved enough to bring that spark of joy to someone's eyes. Learning to receive love so we can turn around and give it to others is what connects us to the body of Christ. The third thing that he said he was going to put in his sack was a single pearl. He said it doesn't have to be a real pearl as long as it helps him to remember something. And I think that's something that's really important too, because it doesn't have to be the original thing to create that spark of joy. But it has to arouse the memory to create that spark of joy. As he was preparing this homily, he had a great sense of hidden treasures as he, through his mind and through his writings and maybe some photos and stuff like that, as he basically revisited the place he came from, Ireland, and had all these thoughts about growing up, the old farmhouse where he was raised, the bedroom where each of his seven siblings were born, the small church where he said his first mass, and the cemetery where his parents are buried. The fine pearls that he thought about, each one of those, and he would be grateful forever. Never forget them.
You know, when he was telling the story, and he painted such a beautiful picture, because as he was telling the story about the farmhouse, he told the story about the thatched roof, that every 2 years he and his brothers would have to take the old roof off, go out and get thatch from the fields, and rethatch the roof. And he talked about the process of all that it was involved. But the thing that really stood out for him, he did it with his brothers. Yes, they complained a little bit, but he just said during that time, and I think he said it took him 2 or 3 days for this process to happen, that unity working together, really he cherished forever.
Well, I think the thing that caught my mind was the fact that we had been to Ireland mm-hmm. before this, and we had seen the place where people departed from Ireland and went to the States, and the recreation of that journey. And it probably meant a lot to me because my grandparents were first generation Americans, so I could understand the whole immigrant story and leaving your homeland and coming to an area where you never spoke the language, you didn't know what the customs were, you didn't have any connections here, and you started from scratch. I mean, that's a huge, huge life change that people were so brave to make back then.
Yeah, and I can see why his mother thought that she would never see him again, because the majority, if not all of the people, never returned. What they say, there were how many millions left during that time, just got on ships and came?
It's like 3 million.
Yeah, 3-4 million people.
Yeah. I think it was even more than that. My grandfather never wanted to go back to Croatia. He refused to go back.
Same with my grandparents from Czechoslovakia.
But he wrote letters back. Because we have copies of those letters from your cousin.
Yes. When we were in Croatia a few years ago, my cousin was reading letters to us that my grandfather had written. And it was such a treasure to hear things from his standpoint of what his life was like. And he was writing back to my cousin's grandfather. So that was really a very special time for us.
So the underlying treasure, of course, of all of this story is life itself. The life that we're given straight from the hands of God. Everything that we give from God is a gift. And when we take the time to stop and really look at it, our gratitude can overwhelm us. It's all grace. Every minute of it. So now it's your turn. Maybe you could think of this as homework. Here's the question. What would you choose to put in your own cloth sack? Pick 3 or 4 or 5 things that you would want to have in your cloth sack. We've got a little bit of time here, so let's share. Evelyn, you want to share what you would put in your cloth sack?
The thing that comes to my mind first is pictures, because it recalls memories better to me than anything else. So pictures of our son when he was growing up, of us when we were young, of the family trips we've taken, of some of the places we visited with friends and family, of the grandkids. I mean, those pictures are just precious because each one of them represents a memory of something that's very special to me.
Thank heavens for flash drive.
What would you take, Steve?
No, I'm going to borrow your idea. And John, when you said about pictures, it is on a flash drive because I have all kind of audio of our 2 boys growing up. I have audio of our grandchildren. I have video of our grandchildren that I put to music. And just pictures of family, close friends, because I still look at photographs once in a while. I'll go into our closet and pull them out on what I want to save and scan. So I have a digital copy. It's amazing, the memories. Because you can almost visualize yourself right then and there. You knew exactly what you were doing when that photograph was taken, whether mm-hmm. you're in it or you're taking pictures of it. It's like the trips we went on. We did that boating trip a couple of times. We always talk about that, don't we?
Yes.
We always talk about in each of the trips we've done, there has been one specific thing that has happened that's made us capture that memory. And we think about that all the time, over and over and over. And we repeat those memories to other people when they talk about boating.
And they roll their eyes.
And that's followed up. Come on, you're kidding me. But no, it would be photographs, audio, video.
What about you, John? What would be in your sack?
Well, you know, you talk about photographs and sharing places that we've been. I just did that today because I was in a Facebook conversation with a close friend who's going to Italy tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and he's going with the Franciscan group from here in town, and so I told him how much he was going to enjoy Assisi and that stuff, but he said, we're going to Rome, and we're going to tour the Borghese Gardens, and I said, and I actually sent him a picture from the restaurant of a hotel that sits right on the edge of the Borghese Gardens, overlooking St. Peter's. And it's just an unbelievable. We happened to be there in the wintertime, so we were having breakfast at 7 in the morning, and the sun was just coming up. It was an unbelievable experience to view the Vatican and St. Peter's from that perspective that not too many people get to see in reality.
But what I hear us saying is none of the physical stuff we have is that important to us. We're not taking T-shirts or jewelry or cars or anything that is a physical item. We're all taking memories and the important times that we had with friends and family.
And I think the biggest memory that I would take with me is of the ministry. You know, we've spent over 30 years in this ministry trying to help people understand how God would have us manage our possessions mm-hmm. and our finances. And it's really become a major part of who we are. And I think that I can always look back on this ministry and say, well, we were able in some very tiny, teeny, small way, help some people. And that, I think, is something that will have meaning.
And a spark of joy.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have helped, even if it's one individual or one couple, it's that you did something.
And isn't that what God calls us all to do? Mm-hmm. Just have a positive influence on the people that are around us. So are you going to reiterate the homework for our listeners?
Think about what you would take in your sack. What would you choose? And once you decide what you would put in your sack, think about the story behind your choice. And finally, if you take the time to search underneath that story, I promise you, you will find what you truly treasure. And remember, it's not about the money.
It's about the change.
The change of your heart.
And before we leave you today, let's answer one of our emails. John and Evelyn, we have about $5,000 left in savings, $37,000 left on an auto loan, $89,000 left on our mortgage. We were planning on going on an overseas trip, but your money map suggests paying off auto loans before saving for trips. However, we feel that if we wait until we pay off the loan, the cost of the trip will be more expensive. What do you suggest?
You know, Steve, I think this is one of those things that you can justify to yourself if you want to spend money. If I take the vacation now, it's going to be less money. But if you've got a large credit card debt, that money you're going to save on buying the vacation now is just getting wasted with paying interest on that credit card debt.
Well, and the savings that you're going to save by taking the trip now, I'm pretty sure is not going to pay off that credit card debt. And probably all you're going to do is add to it, right?
So I think they should wait until they're in better financial shape to take that big fancy trip to Europe.
Absolutely. In the meantime, they can go somewhere, take a weekend trip or something like that, that maybe they only have one overnight, and they can pack a picnic so that they're not spending six meals being gone 2 days. And you just have to be smart about these things. That's all it is.
Smart and frugal.
Excellent feedback. Now, if you have a financial challenge going on in your life and you would like some advice, by all means, email your questions to John and Evelyn. The email address is ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And just to let you know that we have both today's podcast and a written summary available at compasscatholic.org. And we do post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.